Back here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon. Rich Kimball with you. Our next guest on the program is a science fiction author, television writer, and screenwriter, and the author of The Twilight Zone Companion, which has gone through multiple printings over the last four decades, has never been out of print. It is the ultimate guide to one of the great television shows of all time, The Twilight Zone. To talk about that and the upcoming 100th anniversary of the birth of Rod Serling, we are joined by Mark Scott Zickrey. I'm so happy to talk with you. Your book does not move. It's always near my television because it's such an essential resource.
Thank you.
We're coming up on a big day, the 25th of December, the 100th anniversary of Rod Serling's birth. Are you as amazed and, I guess, impressed as I am that so many writers and producers from this, what we think of as the new golden age of television, always mention Rod Serling as an inspiration?
Well, you know, it's because prior to Twilight Zone, prior to Rod Serling, producers ran television and writers were subordinate to them. And Rod said, no, I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to be the producer at the top of the food chain. He created what we now call showrunners, the writer-producers who are often the creators of the show and that run everything, that are responsible for every creative decision. And so whether it's Damon Lindelof with Lost or Vince Gilligan with Better Call Saul or David Chase with Sopranos, we all look to Rod for inspiration, and we all shaped our careers along those lines. We learned from Rod that every minute of a TV show, you have an opportunity to tell something meaningful, something profound, something you've never seen before, something from your heart. Bring your A game, and that's created. So Rod Serling is basically, we're all children of Rod Serling. And, you know, I have my own studio now. I've done hundreds of hours of network TV. I'm doing a new show called Space Command with Bill Mumy, who starred in The Twilight Zone. And, you know, we all have such a sense of creative joy because we're doing something truthful. We're at the top of our game, and that's true of everyone across the board who makes television that's meaningful. We're comedy and drama. We all love Rod, and many, many people read The Twilight Zone Companion when they were teenagers, and it made them want to be writer, producers, in television. Many people tell me that when I meet them here in Hollywood. But I wrote the book right out of college to learn how to make great television. And I started writing the book when I was 21, and by the time I was 22 or 23, I was writing TV. And so Rod was a great teacher as well as a great writer and storyteller.
Well, and you're a science fiction writer, and it's always been understood that one of the things that science fiction allows us to do is to talk about real and sometimes sensitive issues through that lens. And certainly that's one of the things that Rod Serling did so well with The Twilight Zone.
Yes. Well, you know, he didn't initially set out to be a science fiction writer. He wanted to be the Arthur Miller of television. He was writing mainstream drama, and he was the most awarded, highly awarded, the best-paid writer working in TV. But anytime he wanted to write about racial issues, social issues, politics, he was totally censored and very frustrated. So he thought, if I create a show in science fiction, I can write about real-life issues. I can write about individualism and conformity and race and mob hysteria and get away with it. Censors won't know. And that's exactly what happened. He had total freedom. But Rod also knew that the first requirement of any writer is to entertain. Once you entertain someone, you can move them, you can change them, you can be profound, but you can't lecture. You have to really tell a story first and foremost, and Rod did that brilliantly. And so you know, his brother Bob told me when I interviewed him that, you know, Rod had a little pill of meaning that he wanted to get down the audience's throat, but it was wrapped in sugar. You know, and so that's how they did Twilight Zone. But Rod loved the work he was doing, and it really comes across.
And he had a great eye for talent, too. When you look at some of the young actors, of people like Redford and others who made early appearances on The Twilight Zone, and then that stable of regulars, so many that appeared in two, three, four different episodes.
Yes. I mean, Burgess Meredith was in four episodes. Jack Klugman was in four. Bill Mumy, the wonderful child actor, was in three. These are classic episodes. I mean, Burgess Meredith was a bank teller who just wants to read and ends up as the last man on earth, or Bill Mumy as this incredibly powerful child who, when he gets angry, wishes people to the cornfield. I mean, these are unforgettable. William Shatner looking out the window and seeing the gremlin on the wing. I mean, these episodes, and even when you know the gimmick, you can watch them over and over and over again because they're great stories. They have a human heart. there's a truth there. And Rod Serling said the greatest fear of all to him was the fear of the unknown working on you, which you cannot share with others. And so many, many Twilight Zones are about people going through an astonishing experience, but no one believes them. And it's just wonderful. It just takes you into that world. And you can watch those episodes over and over and never be disappointed.
We're getting ready for another New Year's marathon. Some of these shows now, 65 years old. What is it that makes them stand up and be as fresh today as they were in 1959?
Well, you know, they're great stories, well told, and everyone started with Rod. You know, you have a great script. The actors read it; they say, "I've got to be in this." The directors love to do it. Everyone loves to do it. The composers, Bernard Herrmann, Jerry Goldsmith. Everyone brings their A game. George Clemens, the director of photography. It's like, why do we still love, you know, the statues of Michelangelo or the paintings of Leonardo da Vinci, because they're superb. They're the best. You know, these are stories that we love, and it's like our common mythology. And it's a cookbook. I mean, it is that. So I'm as entertained by Twilight Zone as ever. You know, the reason I did the new edition was because people kept telling me stories about Rod, and so I added 100 new pages, 500 new photographs, links to audio and video rarities. Because everyone loves Rod. Everyone loves the Twilight Zone, and justifiably, deservedly. It's love because it's great.
We have talked with a number of actors who were on the show. Bill Mumy is a great friend of our show. Shelley Fabre, Ruta Lee, Stephen Talbot, and every one of them talked about what a wonderful experience it was, but also what a terrific person Rod Serling was to work with.
Yes. Genuinely warm. He really loved people. He was a great dad to his two daughters. I'm working with Bill Mumy now on Space Command, the show I'm doing now that you can watch on my YouTube channel, Mr. Sci-Fi, and that's SCI-FI, Mr. Sci-Fi. And Veronica Cartwright, she's going to be in the new series we're creating. She starred in the one episode of Twilight Zone Ray Bradbury wrote, I Sing the Body Electric, about some kids who've lost their mom, and their dad buys them an electric grandmother, a robot grandmother. But to work with these brilliant actors, it's just phenomenal. George Takei, who played Sulu in Star Trek, was in the Twilight Zone episode that we can now watch. It wasn't originally in the package, but now it is. I interviewed him about Twilight Zone, and it was just like, you know, so many of these episodes are like two people in a room or a bunch of people stuck in a diner where one of them is a Martian, you know, in secret. I mean, what a great opportunity for actors to have these great roles, to really, really tear the walls up, you know, and they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And these things were made in 3 days, you know. It's phenomenal how quickly they were made, but they're little jewels, they're gems, and they really hold up. I always love sharing Twilight Zone with someone who's never seen it. Like kids love it, teenagers love it. There's no cynicism when you come to Twilight Zone. It just blows your head open.
And my favorite episode of all time, and I think I remember Anne Serling telling us that it was certainly among her dad's favorite, Walking Distance.
Yes, that's one of my favorites too. It's just so gorgeous, and it was Rod's favorite episode of all, because when he was in World War II as paratrooper, just as the war was ending, he got news that his dad had died very suddenly of a heart attack at age 52, and he loved his father, and he asked to go home to the funeral, and they didn't allow him to go home, and so he never got to say goodbye to his father. So that episode about a world-weary executive who goes back in time to his hometown and gets to talk with his father, and his father says, "You've been looking behind you. You try looking ahead. There's joys to be found in life in the modern world, in your life." That was Rod finally getting to say goodbye to his dad, and so it has such poetry and such truth and such heart. And it's got a wonderful score by Bernard Herrmann, who did Psycho and Citizen Kane. And it's just perfect. It's wonderful.
Well, Mark, I've enjoyed your work both regarding Twilight Zone and beyond. Look forward to Space Command. Bill's going to be on with us in a few days, so I have to ask him about that. And appreciate you making time for us today.
Thank you, Rich. I really enjoyed it.
Mark Scott Zickrey, author of The Twilight Zone Companion, talking about Rod Serling with us here on Downtown.